Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello everyone, it is the Final Word Show. Liverpool beat Leicester 2-1 with a wonderful, wonderful late James Milner penalty to maintain their 100% record to the start of the season. I am Paul Machin. I'm joined by Ben Kelly, by Dave's LFC Chats, and by Steve Hall. This show and podcast is brought to you in association with The Athletic. Make sure you head over to theathletic.co.uk /TheRedmenTV to get 50% off your yearly subscription. Anyone who watches the Red Bull News Channel will know we've been plugging this stuff. Absolutely exceptional. Some of the best, if not the best, Liverpool writing in the world right now from the likes of James Pearce, who broke some fantastic stories actually over on there. He broke the Liverpool Carabao Cup ineligible player stuff. He broke the Nike stuff, Nike New Balance stuff as well. And there's some really in-depth long reads there from himself and from Si Hughes, including a big bit on Brendan Rodgers that was out last week, which is a really, really interesting read indeed. So yeah, at theathletic.co.uk/TheRedmenTV. 50% off your yearly subscription and your first month is free as well. Steve Hall.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, no, I just thought you were looking off a couple of times. I was like, right.
Absolutely done me there.
Let's keep you on your toes. Steve.
Hello.
Late wins. Just living, mate. This is what being alive feels like.
It is, mate. And like I say, I haven't seen, I said when we spoke after the game, I haven't seen the cop like that for quite some time. For a Saturday 3 o'clock league game, it was very intense in there, I'll be honest. Yeah, if you're not going to battle someone 6-0, you might as well score a 95th minute winner penalty against a very good team. Like I say, you're not always going to be perfect, and Liverpool weren't perfect. They were pretty good, came up against a good opposition, but I know it's a phrase now, it's become a thing, hasn't it? This, you know, the mentality monsters, the mentality giants and all that. That's just what that is.
Yeah.
It's just sheer will and determination to just not accept anything less than 3 points. And that's amazing. And it's just a team, what a team, you know, Liverpool have been accused in the past that we don't have enough winners, that kind of stuff. Well, these lads are winners. They've got the mentality to be champions, whether they cross that bridge and get over the line in May, we'll soon see. But I don't think we can, you know, whatever happens, we can't question the character anymore. I know it's a It's the old Brendan Rodgers character thing.
Well, we're taking it back.
You cannot, because these lads are just, they are giving it their absolute all for us, for themselves, for the team. And I thought it just showed, like, you know, an uncompromising unwillingness to take anything less than 3 points in a home game. And I think that's just amazing. We should be very proud. They should be very proud.
100%. And just for those of you watching and listening, don't worry. We will talk about what happened in the rest of the sporting calendar this weekend. We will be talking about a little bit about Man United and Man City and the Ev as well, but that's to come. Dave, I think, you know, Steve's right there. I think some people are, well, opposition fans, let's be honest, and maybe a couple of minge bags within the fan base, trying to peg that as a lucky win for Liverpool. I think there's a difference between, I think it's got the hallmarks to an outsider of a lucky win, because if you take 3 points with a last minute penalty, there is a degree of luck involved in that. But I think there's miles a difference between winning that way and then, look, Liverpool outplayed Leicester for the vast majority of that game. They limited them.
Controlled it.
Exactly.
They controlled the game.
And I think we've won games like that. We've seen games won in the past where you're crap. You're absolutely crap, and then you win it with a last penalty. Yeah. There's a massive difference between that type of lucky and this type of lucky.
We controlled the great game right from the start of the game, right through. First half was particularly good. Mane was unbelievable. His tracking back was just in the corners. He did either end, both sides of the pitch. Tracking back, got a beautiful goal just before half time, which obviously was brilliant. as you say, we controlled the game. But when you're 1-0, you know yourself, and you can have it 1-0, it's never really enough. But the mentality, we're talking about mentality joints of Liverpool. I think the difference of this team, even from last year, is there was no huge panic. It was a late equaliser against the run of play. They hadn't got many chances. We had a few, probably should have put it to bed earlier. But we didn't panic, you know. And you didn't see the huge amount of panic in the crowd either. There was a bit of moaning in the main stand, actually, where I was.
Yeah.
A bit of moaning. I could see Klopp doing this at the end. He wasn't happy with a bit of moaning and groaning. Yeah. But the mentality's there. We just keep going and going. Whatever you think about the penalty, it doesn't matter. There was contact in the box. Milli Vanilli steps up. What better, man? I didn't think he'd stay on the pitch that long, to be honest. But, you know, 2-1, late win. You can't get better than a late win. You know, it's
the derby last year's kind of lucky win.
Yeah.
Because we were rubbish.
Yeah, yeah.
And we get a goal that bounced off the bar and they go.
Great example.
That's a lucky one. You know, the goal against Sheffield United is lucky. There was no looking yesterday. It was an attack and the fella fouled that lad in the box. Yeah. I mean, that's not luck. It's Mane chasing a ball that wasn't there.
Yeah.
For any other player, just if he stops running, or Brighton doesn't bottle it and he just lets it go to Schmeichel and the game's dead. It's game over. He kicks out. It's done. That's not luck. That's Mane's will to win. Yeah. And like, going back to the mentality, he put Brighton under pressure. A player fatigued under pressure, 95th minute, you make stupid decisions. He makes a stupid decision to kick off his goalie. The foul's a foul, and then that's the difference. We weren't lucky. We deserved to beat Leicester.
What's he saying? You make your own luck, don't you, Ben? Particularly when you're in good form, you're a good team, you've got good unity, etc., etc. Too many Liverpool sides down the years have relied on luck. Yeah. Like, they've needed things to go their way, otherwise it all sort of falls apart. Whereas this feels like luck is a natural byproduct of the level that Liverpool are at the moment. We used to cry ass about Man United having this all the time.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. This is exactly... I grew up watching this happen to Man United week in, week out, where they'd have a dodgy penalty dead late on. You know, we used to joke about like Howard Webb being a massive Man United fan and doing all that.
Because Fergie time, wasn't it?
Fergie time, all of that stuff. And right now, and now Liverpool are this good, it's taken now for me to realise that, oh no, actually, Man United were just dead good. And that's why they were getting it in the noughties. Yeah. And now it's Liverpool and sometimes Man City getting these things, but Man City seem to, you know, get the bad end of VAR rather than that. I think I completely agree with everything said so far. I thought we deserved to win the game. You know, a lot of even Rodgers came out, didn't he, and said, you know, I thought we were unlucky and all that. No, we had one shot on target, you know, and we played very, very well. Leicester defended very well, don't get me wrong.
By the same flip logic of what we're talking about, they're unlucky not to get a point because ultimately...
They've conceded a 95th minute penalty.
Exactly. Yeah, not because they, on the balance of play... Yeah. I mean, you look at the chances created in that game, Liverpool. Like, Trent could have had a hat-trick of assists inside the first half an hour of that game.
Yeah, Milner missed a couple, didn't he? And then Kasper Schmeichel makes a very good save early on in the first half. We could be 3-0 up by the hour, you know, and we're cruising, and that's, to be honest, the way I thought it was going to go. You know, particularly when we got the first goal, we could have had another one before half time.
Mane should score.
Really. Mane should score. He opens up for him in the box, and we should be 2-0 up by the break. I think, I just think we deserve to win the game, but obviously, you know, when you get a 95th minute penalty, that's a nice way of winning things.
100%. Well, let's go back to the sort of the layout of the game a little bit. Steve, I thought Brendan was quite un-Brendan, or my understanding of Brendan Rodgers. I mean, look, to be fair, he's an older, wiser, more experienced manager than the man who left Liverpool. But you know, they had a good decent game plan there, didn't they? There was times when that was very, very 4-5-1. You know, Vardy's on his own. They've just got two lines of players there, looking to be solid, looking to stop us play. It didn't work spectacularly because, as mentioned, we probably could have got a couple of goals or whatever. But I wondered whether he would succumb to his own hubris in this and just have them come out swinging, see if he can really, you know, land one on us early, etc. And but yeah, it was a very overall measured, I think, performance from Leicester.
But I think he does pick an attacking lineup. Maybe it was just us pinning them back. I don't know, because he picks Payet and Maddison. He leaves Chowdhury on the bench, doesn't he? Yeah. I thought he would have definitely started. So he's gone more attacking there. I thought it would be Maddison or Payet. I don't think he picked both of them. Chilwell and Pereira, when they did want to get forward, and when they did, they were dangerous. So I don't know if he was. listen, he's come to counter-attack. That's obvious.
Yeah.
You've got, that's what that Leicester team is designed to do. Designed to go on the road, soak it up a little bit because they've got good defenders. And then the full-backs are arguably the second best pair in the league. They've got, you know, Vardy's brilliant at what he does. It makes sense. He's playing to what he's got. But I thought we deserved the credit for that because we pinned them back. You know, they Chilwell and Pereira were looking to get... They were trying to go. And we were just kind of keeping the reins on them a little bit. We set up a little bit differently. We have Firmino playing on the wing and Salah's up front for a bit, which maybe confused them a little bit, and they wondered, it took them a while to adjust to that. So I thought their game plan was pretty, that was a pretty good game plan what they had. Listen, yeah. I don't think they were ever going to come and go toe-to-toe. I don't think any team are going to come to Anfield and go toe-to-toe. Salzburg done it for half an hour maybe, and maybe prove that team should do it. Yeah. And if I was an opposition manager, I think that's the way I would go. I would come and have a go. But it was almost a free hit for Leicester. They're having such a good start to the season that a 0-0. I mean, they're happy to go and not get battered. But I think Rodgers, I said again to you after the show, I think they're comfortably the third best team in the league. I think they're better than most. Yeah. I think they're better than Arsenal.
Well, they finished the weekend fourth, don't they? But like, you look at the goal difference. Like, I think it's a lot of how the games have fallen. If they don't play us this weekend, I think they probably win whoever else they play, and they are third. Mm. You know, they've scored more and conceded less than Arsenal, and they sit below them in the table. I think you're right. I think they're gonna have a good season. Steve hinted at obviously Bobby Firmino starts left wing. The one that drew the most raised eyebrows pre-game was Dejan Lovren starting the game. Because there's got to be something, hasn't there? There's got to be something to get people to give people an excuse to tweet. I'll be honest, I said it after the game. I think he's probably the worst player in our squad, of our senior players. Yeah. But if that's the case, it shows how good our squad is, because look, one or two moments notwithstanding, I thought he had a really good game.
I was actually worried when I seen him come out. I have to be honest. I thought Gomez would have got in. Mm. Obviously, I knew Matip was... I actually did a video with a Leicester City fan channel just before the start, and he actually said to me, yeah, Lovren's starting. And he goes, like this, you know, Vardy will have a field day. I was a bit worried, but actually, Lovren deserves a big... He absolutely flawless. Okay, he made one or two little things, but he had to be a bit rusty. He hasn't played in a while. Yeah. But I'd give Lovren probably 8 out of 10. I think he was that good.
He was better than Joe Gomez in the week.
Yeah.
And that's the it's easy to say now. I raised an eyebrow, but Dejan Lovren was excellent from August to Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, last season, you know, when the periods where he was playing with Van Dijk, and you know, especially in the build to Kiev, you know, he was brilliant. I think it's easy to put down, you know, any centre back alongside Virgil van Dijk tends to play well. Yeah. But you know, there were periods when Lovren's, you know, when was the last time Lovren made a key mistake? Probably the City game, maybe in January. You know, he loses Aguero for the first goal. But for me, I wasn't overly worried. I mean, Jamie Vardy's a handful, and that is the thing. But I think
Gomez sits on the bench.
Yeah.
And haven't seen, you're right, I think it's a good point to make about the Salzburg game and his performance. We know Gomez is really good. I think we think his ceiling's higher than Dejan Lovren's. And it was just one of the, I think, if we'd had an injury crisis and Lovren had come in, I don't think we would have batted an eyelid. But it's the Gomez having seen, although he had some, he really struggled, I think, at times in the Salzburg game. I also thought he showed his class at times. If Gomez isn't there, I don't think it's an issue. But I think a lot of it comes from the fact that it was like, why the hell would you not play Gomez? Yeah. It makes you wonder. You speculate, is it a fitness thing? Is it, you know, it's in like, for two reasons, can Gomez not play again? Or does Lovren, is this the last, he's just thinking, just get Lovren 90 minutes because we might well need him over the coming weeks or whatever. But
I think you might have just bombed Gomez out.
That's the other one.
It's possibly fitness related. He hasn't played for a while, and then to go again. I think the worry comes on, my worry was, is that if any player's going to capitalise, if you give them an inch, it's Vardy. You know, one slip or one, on the halfway line, you get turned.
Well, look at the one moment when Lovren plays Vardy onside, and he goes through and Adrian makes the save.
Adrian actually stuttered a bit, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He stuttered and then went.
Yeah, it was interesting. So I get it, but again, he's the fourth choice centre-back. There's a reason the manager picked him. I don't know whether it's Gomez fitness rate. Or, you know what, he was rubbish against Salzburg, he was. And that's okay. It's okay to be rubbish sometimes, by the way. When you're a young player, that's fine. It'll happen. Again, like what you said, if Lovren's Liverpool's 18th, 19th, 20th best player, we're all right, we're fine. Yeah. It's just, Ben's mentioned this in the past, and I think it was like, you're almost hanging on to that. He's the last of the old guard, pretty much, of the ones who, you know, because it was him and Henderson, where Henderson's proved himself.
Yeah.
Mignolet's gone, Moreno's gone, you know, and you're left, so Degsy's left on his Todd, essentially.
And well, you've got the last two, the two most disliked members of the Liverpool squad are Lovren and Lallana.
Yeah.
And they are the absolute, like, let's say bottom of the barrel, but they sit between that and a bunch of completely untested kids.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely fine. Because I put that sentiment out on Twitter, and someone said, Lallana's Liverpool's worst player. I'm sorry. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm not having that. Like, Adam Lallana is a much
on his
better.
Day is,
yeah, he's a much more talented footballer. Yeah. He's probably more talented at football than a lot of the lads who we consider to be brilliant in that team. But you're right, these are the lads who have just been pushed down the pecking order as time's
gone. You need
them,
and you're going to need them. Again, we keep harping back to because our reference is Man United under Ferguson. Mm-hmm. Like, John O'Shea. Just like you pop in, play a game, get
West Brown.
Yeah, just like good, yeah. Decent pros, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Reliable.
Not even that, just like, you know what, you have two injuries and you're not playing Fernandinho centre back. Yeah. You're playing Dejan Lovren. You know what I mean? It's that.
Yeah.
He's all right. Listen, I wouldn't want Lovren to play 10 games on the run. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't trust him to do it. No. But he's a good player. He's not a bad footballer. People think he's shite.
He's not become shite. A myth, hasn't he? Yeah. Because the overall levels, and I keep coming back to this analogy, you don't notice how good our level is. So you presume that when a player's not good enough to play for your side, they're shite.
Because
we're so used to the lads that we think aren't very good. Mm. Our squad level's normally just about fourth. At its very, very best, it's a fourth place side. And at its worst, it's an eighth place side. So those players who aren't good enough are nowhere near good enough to play in the top half of the Premier League a lot of the time. Whereas Dejan Lovren, and I'm sure this is what you can say, he'd walk into so many teams around
City.
He'd
love him now. When Laporte and Stones, if it no, but he's a better centre. He's better than Otamendi. He's a better centre back than Fernandinho as a centre back. You know, things like that. So the manager was proven right.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, wasn't he? I understand the trepidation, and like Dave says, is that there was a bit. I admit I was a bit worried. But you know, of all the things, I think you should praise him as well. By the way, praise Lovren to come in cold against one of the most informed players strikers in the league. Vardy's had a good season.
He
played really well.
The whole decision to keep him as well was vindicated. I think in this, and I think goes back to this thing, doesn't it, Dave, about how we're not quite ready, and what Liverpool have historically done when they've come second in the league. All the experience gets shipped out. Gerard Houllier did it to his absolute. It was an absolute disaster in doing so. And you need these lads because you end up in these situations.
Nothing happens. VVD. We'd really be in trouble.
But you know, it's those extra games. It's those extra bits and pieces where it just helps. Just to have someone who knows what they're doing, whether they are the best of the best. Look, Adrian's the perfect example of this. Is he's just a steady professional to come in because you can bring a kid in, and this kid might go on to be an absolute
whale. Kelleher or someone like that.
Or Sepp Vandenberg or whomever. Harvey Elliott makes the bench. These are all talented lads, but young players cost you points through experience, and that's why more often than not, it's a one-off situation. You're better off dropping a lad who's in his 30s, who knows what he's doing, than dropping some raw kid. There's no pressure on us to bring the kids in.
A Croatian international. People are forgetting. How many caps has he got for
Champions
Croatia?
League finalist, World Cup finalist.
World Cup finalist. Best defender in the world. But you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying, where you need the squad. I mean, we've a lot of games. We've World Club Cup coming up. We're still in the League Cup. We've got the FA Cup, the Champions League, the League. We're going to get injuries. I mean, we've been lucky. We were lucky last year with injuries. Very lucky to key players. We were really lucky. This year, we're going to get them. So to have experience, as you said, a fella was in a World Cup final, a Croatian international, a big fella. You know, okay, there's a mistake in him. We all know that. But he played very well. I really do. I said it before the game. I was a bit worried, but I'm happy to say I was wrong, you know.
Ben, can I ask you something very quick? If Lovren had played against Salzburg and played like Joe Gomez is, everyone would be demanding he gets bombed out. And whether he'd come off cold, would you agree that even if he'd come in cold, you'd go, no excuses, don't care, you haven't played, you're crap, get out. So you flip it over, it makes sense. It does kind of make sense if that reason is for Ben Bomber.
I mean, there's more nuance to that argument, isn't there?
No, of course, but still, would you flip the script a little bit? You wouldn't want Lovren playing again after if he'd have played like Gomez played, would you? Is that fair?
No, definitely. And I think actually maybe in the end it was a bit of a combination of both, just building on what Dave was saying there. Like he maybe did use it then as an opportunity to just give Lovren 90 minutes. It was sort of a mix of the two. It was a bit of a perfect storm.
Gives Gomez a kick,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah,
to be fair?
Yeah, it does as well. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Joe Gomez. I mean, 18 months ago. I mean, you know, was probably third, fourth choice himself. Lovren was probably first choice partner for Van Dijk on the back end of 17-18. Gomez came in and he had a great start to the season last season, but he did perform really well, but, you know, he gets himself injured and he comes in, he puts in performance like that. He's got to be aware that even as a young player and even as the guy who, look, going forward, even when Matic's fit, going forward, Joe Gomez is probably going to be the number one choice.
I think
there is competition in the squad and he needs to know
the competition thing's important. I think you've re-energised the back four competition there.
Mm, yeah.
Because you've said to Joe Gomez, yeah, you're not a kid, mate. You're not a kid anymore, not in my eyes. You're old enough to play. When you play well, you'll keep your place. But if you're going to come in and be inconsistent, Dejan Lovren's chomping at your heels there, mate. Yeah. He's experienced, list all the Dejan Lovren qualities. So what you've done there is, I don't think Lovren will be here next season. I think this is going to be his last season at Liverpool. But you've basically told the entire squad that this is what happens. Yeah. This is how fierce this is.
That's what you want.
Exactly.
That's what you, throughout the team, 100%. Every position, that's what you want.
Yeah.
You
know? And look, ultimately the aim will be to drive Gomez on and make him want to fight a bit more and realise that he's not just going to come into the side when Matip or Van Dijk's out or whatever, or which he's going to have to make sure that he's on it. And, you know, he'd be feeling pressure from all over now, because all of a sudden you've got Keanu Hoover, who's probably still a bit too young to be playing games for us, but, it, you know, he's going to be starting to make a case to be Trent's understudy at right back.
Sniffing around,
you know, and then you've got Lovren, Matip and Van Dijk, who are all now in form, at various degrees of fitness. At centre half, and Gomez has got to look at himself and go, okay, need to knuckle down, which is absolutely, absolutely fine. Ideal situation. Steve, do you think we're moving Bobby left wing and Salah centre forward? We're trying to play Salah into form a little bit here.
I don't know. I think it's actually probably more, I think we were a little bit worried about their fullbacks, if I'm honest. I think it was more getting for me, you know, up against Pereira and stuff.
But what I say is that's now three games on the bounce where he's been whether he started or been moved to. Yeah. You know, two games prior to that we've changed formation, we've moved him centre forward. This game we've kept 4-3-3, but we've put him in the middle.
I don't think so. I don't think Klopp will compromise the team just to box Salah off. I think he just picks the team he thinks are best suited for that game, and Salah running in behind, maybe he fancied them against the lad whose name. Soyuncu. I can't say it. Soyuncu, sorry.
He's really good, by the way.
He was really good. He was good, yeah.
And he does look like the baddie.
Turkish international, is he?
Turkish guy. And then Evans as well. Maybe he's thinking maybe he can get something out of them. I don't know. I'm not sure he's trying to play Salah into form. I personally thought it was more to do with he was worried about their fullbacks. And Salah, for everything he's done, he doesn't track back. He just doesn't do it. Mane will all day. Salah, for whatever reason, isn't in his game. So I think it was more to do with that. And
well, you're talking about not doing stuff to box people off. I mean, you've effectively taken Roberto Firmino.
You're asking him to do a job, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're asking him to do a job.
At home against Leicester City.
I wouldn't have done it personally.
Yeah.
But
it's an interesting one. It's funny, isn't it, Dave? Oh, 2 years ago, we'd have been raging about Firmino moved, because we've seen him wide and we thought we'd seen the last of it, but goes that, there's this credit in the bank. We've reached a situation, and people are still kicking off our stuff, because people do, and I don't get it myself. I've almost run out of things. Like, it's almost like, you know, you could almost answer every question with, yeah, but Jürgen knows what he's doing.
Doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, exactly, that's where we're kind of at with it now. We start Dejan Lovren, and centre half, and we put Roberto Firmino left wing, and everyone goes, it's Klopp.
Well, the legend, Klopp, but I mean, as Steve was saying, I think Klopp, he does pick the team, you know, obviously the same team. He seems to pick the same team nearly all the time if they're fit, but to suit the game. Obviously, I'd like Firmino in the middle with the two boys. Mm-hmm. Why, that's his best position, because he just holds the ball up so much better. But to be honest, Firmino could play anywhere from the front three, really, can't he? He's that good.
Yeah.
I mean, Firmino.
The thing that really stuck out for me in the game, Ben, I thought the officiating was dreadful. absolutely dreadful. The amount of times, and it was funny because I spoke to one of the things in perspective. I was in the Kelly Dagley stand for which is I haven't been in for years, but it's mad seeing a game of football like you would see it on the telly, albeit from the opposite side. I was talking to Sine, he was like, look, Milner was excellent. And I thought he was absolutely perfect. I was like, he put in two absolute bone-crunching, almost red card-worthy challenges, but they were on my side of the pitch, so they stuck out in my mind. But Salah, like a couple of times down in front of me, he was being ragged by the neck. The linesman's right there. And the amount of times Salah was flagged and the linesman didn't once flag for the foul.
Yeah.
I just thought it was really odd.
So easy. Like, I think there'd be a lot more complaints about this if we hadn't won the game, to be honest, because it's so easy to obviously think that Leicester fans would have come away from that thinking the referee was shite. Like, you know, but I felt as if Leicester got a lot of soft fouls.
Yeah.
And as you say, Salah, I think it's kind of Salah's game a little bit, because he does get his body in the way quite vociferously. He does, you know, particularly in the box, you know, he'll kind of lean into a defender. And I think that's where it makes it difficult for the referee, because the referee is trying to figure out, or the linesman, you know, he's trying to figure out, well, how much of this is Salah initiating contact? You know, the pundits love that phrase, don't they? You know, he's initiating contact and therefore it's not a foul and whatever. And I think sometimes that does cloud judgment. And I think whether we like it or not, and whether it's correct or not, Salah does have a reputation, and I think that feeds into it. And for me, you are right. Salah should have been there. Should have been a lot more free kicks going our way. And Leicester did end up with the brunt of the more soft fouls. But in the end, obviously, we get a soft foul that goes through.
Soft fouls and all that kind of stuff. I thought the referee was a referee and his assistants were crap on the day. To be perfectly honest. It was, Steve, that game, for the spell, that middle spell, obviously we have so many chances, particularly on the counter, where we just need to kill them off. And when you don't kill teams off at 1-0, you leave yourselves open to that kind of situation. And I think we fell into it. I think a little bit of credit to Brendan Rodgers in that regard. I think he knew they were going to be the freshest in the last 20 minutes of that game, and I think it was kind of borne out. He goes a little bit more attacking with his substitutions, and at that point, you know, you've seen it. Gini Wijnaldum's legs were gone. I think Fabinho's legs were gone. I think Mane looked on his last leg. For me, we looked knackered, and it's mad to say in a game where it was only their second shot, or you know, but it wasn't even at that point. Yeah, it was their second shot on target, wasn't it? Their second shot. That it felt inevitable that they would equalise, but more just that happens in football so often. If you don't put the game to bed, you leave yourself vulnerable to
game. Yeah, I thought they were just, when they scored, they were probably on top of the game for a couple of minutes. I did feel like the pressure was coming, but you know, it felt like something was going to happen. We were wasteful again at times. We've been that this season. Sheffield United was another one.
It was the final ball. It was the amount of lacks. Like, there's a couple where Salah's trying to play Mane through, and it's just, it's straight, and it's overhit. And look, these are decent problems to have in the first few months of the season, because you know, if you're having this at the end of the season,
you can iron them out. Yeah, hopefully over a season you'll iron them out.
It was, like I say, it wasn't like we were getting into great positions that we shouldn't. Before the 1-0, we have a few. Mane should score like Benton, we said before, on the stroke of half-time. Second half, we have positions to create a good chance, if that makes sense. And like I say, it was a sloppy pass or a bad touch or something.
Well, it comes across like a good chance, the one where Mane and Salah do the little 1-2.
That's good defending, to be fair.
Yeah, but it's an horrendous final ball from Salah for it. Yeah. These are, for the average footballer, we're not even capable of making one of those passes. But you know, at that level, that's what we're just lacking at the moment. It's that last touch is either just a bit heavy, it's a little bit off. We're not properly fluent up front.
Yeah, and even the Van Dijk header at 1-1, I thought we'd get a chance, and I'll be honest, I thought that was it. And I thought he should have scored. It was pretty much a free header. He should have scored. So we have been a bit wasteful. It kind of comes in batches, doesn't it? Because we were absolutely deadly clinical against Salzburg, and then so it's hard to put your finger on what it is. I don't know. Maybe it's a bit of fatigue or something, I don't know, but football does bite you in the arse. Football's got a habit of kicking you up the arse if you need it, you know what I mean? And I was worried that if we'd walked out that game 1-0 saying, And the narrative would have been Liverpool wasteful again. You know, how many times? And it could have happened against Sheffield. You know, bar of the goalie throwing one through his legs. We could have walked out of there saying Liverpool need to be more clinical. And Klopp, to be fair to him, he emphasised it in all his post-match stuff all the time. You know, we have to be more ruthless. We have to be. The good thing, I suppose, is that we're this good now and we haven't clicked. The attack hasn't really been at it. Again, Salzburg, first half aside, we haven't really, for a while, looked like we're going to blow teams away. Mm. So maybe that's a positive, that it's coming sooner rather than later. But yeah,
we're talking about positive. We're talking about this situation not being ideal with 100%
staff. Yes. To the
perfection, isn't it? We're looking for perfection, really.
The flip side is, you know, at some point, it will get you. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I often wonder, you might discuss this, because they're so good, I wonder if it's not blasé, but we'll get another one. Another one's coming. Don't worry, another one's coming. It's not that. So maybe you can be a little bit lax about it. I don't know.
My slight concern, and it's just me reading between the lines, and I love a good story, Dave, but I feels like since the Burnley thing with Mane kicking off, I think they are going... They're making greater efforts.
Yeah, I noticed that in the game.
To be a bit more...
Play each other in and
that's fine. But I wonder whether there's just... It's got the needle swung a little bit too much the other way.
It does, yeah.
They haven't quite found that perfect blend of... There is the right time to square it and there's the right time to just take it on yourself.
There was one or two times where Salah should have passed to Mane or Mane should have passed to Salah and they didn't. And they did it in other times where they shouldn't have done it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. As you're saying. And it's probably a psychological thing going on between them because the press made a huge bullshit. Well, it was
3 weeks on from it happening. More than. It's like a month odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Mane's being asked about it in the press conference in midweek.
Like,
it's going to keep being that question because people have got to find something to talk about around these situations.
When you think of it, as you said, the front three haven't really clicked. They've clicked in and out of first gear. The Norwich, they did well. The Salzburg, in and out of games. But they've actually been in second gear. I think, which is a great sign.
Yeah.
With 8 wins out of 8, 24, you know, I mean, 17 wins in a row, Premier League wins.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I can't complain there. Well, let's get into fourth gear, maybe later on in the season.
Yeah, if it clicks, someone's going to get an absolute high.
Exactly. The team just seems to find new ways to progress all the time. Just when you think that the team can't really get much better. The best example is this and this fixture last season, where obviously we draw that game 1-1 last season, we can't find a way through. And, you know, this season, 10 minutes to go, they score and you go... Man, you know, you're gonna end up paralleling that scoreline, and suddenly you go and find that goal, and we talked about it after Sheffield, we talked about it after Salzburg. It's finding another way to win, and we just seem to find a way all the time, and I think that's the biggest improvement that I've seen so far from this squad this season. You know, it doesn't necessarily matter that the attack hasn't clicked yet, because we're finding other ways to win anyway. And that ties into the mentality thing that we were talking about at the top of the show.
Yeah, 100%. I think you're right, though, Steve. I think ultimately we're going to have to... That's going to have to start to click a little bit more. But when you consider, like, this spell last season, this is when we were drawing loads of games. And you look at... Like, Man City are legitimately dropping points. They're not dropping points because they've had some mad, nuanced VAR decision. You know,
Goran Vestland and scoring from the car park.
Oh, exactly. Absolutely. Scoring straight from his dreams into the top bin. You know, this is what happens. Teams do this. Tottenham Hotspur have fallen off a cliff. But you're meant to struggle when you're playing two big games each week. And that's why... You know, there will still be the fear that says, well, if we don't, then we'll struggle. He's right. We will. You know, because you're dead right. Because I know Dan Kennett I've been going on about this on Twitter. Like, the stats suggest we're being lucky rather than good in a lot of these in a lot of these games this season. But it's not something to be worried about just yet. Yeah. But obviously, we'll see.
Does the lack of a pre-season play a part in this? Because Liverpool, to be fair, have started better than this under Klopp in years past, and then a little dip, and then they go again. It's almost like we're just stacking wins. You just stack the wins now because I think, whether this comes back to bite him on the arse, a few years ago Pep said, you know, you can't win a league in the first 8 games, but you can lose one.
Yeah.
Liverpool have almost just, like, by hook or by crook, like Ben mentioned before, just win and just keep winning, and eventually everyone will be fit and everyone will be fine and we'll have everything back together and then we'll go.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of where we are now.
Exactly.
We're, we're like a boxer behind the jab. We're not quite there. We're not feeling great. But listen, does this team deserve to have 24 points from every single performance they've played? Arguably not. But then in terms of the mentality of them all and the sheer will to win, then they do. So
I think
it's
one of those situations where a combination of the players available to you, because some of it's pre-season, some of it's not buying, you know, buying other players and trusting the players that you've got in the squad to come back to fitness.
Your goalie's injured.
You've got Oxlade-Chamberlain still being brought back to fitness. Naby Keita's had injury problems as well. So you can't, you know, they're things that we would have freshened things up, you know, or we would have had a different, we might have just been a more cohesive unit, a bit more of a goal threat, et cetera, in certain things. But we've not rotated. So I think some of that's by design, to make sure that we've got a continuity, so you're doubling down on what you know works rather than having to worry about making any massive changes to it. Because I think Jürgen knows that I think everyone's legs are going to fall off at the end of this season. I think Liverpool and City, because of the exertions of a couple of seasons of non-stop football.
Pressure.
So you've got to, and I think we tried to do this after the World Cup, the last season Chelsea won it. We started the season really strongly then, and it was us and Chelsea until we faltered around January. But Chelsea shouldn't have been with us. You know what I mean? Like, you start that well, you should be top of the league. And then, you know, last season City are with us from the off. Chelsea are actually there up until about October, November, December. I wonder whether this is what it's meant. This is like the game plan being enacted out to some extent, that we could. Yes, we are riding our luck to some extent, but it is also luck by
design. But
it's good by design, and then you know you stack these wins now, as Steve was saying, and suddenly if you do properly get going around February, March, by that point you know you might be 8 points clear at that point, and if you start clicking then and you put another, so because obviously between now and February we're not going to win every single game, but if you go, you know, we're on this run of 8 wins now. If you put another run of 8 wins together between February and the beginning of April, that can win. Yeah. That is that spell that will win you the league, not right now.
Yeah, as long as you don't lose every game, but in the period, of course.
No, yeah, it's just like no one's playing that well across the league, to be honest. Like,
you should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
An amazing. No one's been. Everyone's inconsistent. We're the only constant at the minute.
Yeah.
And our constant is Liverpool are winning games at 7 out of 10.
Well, it goes to show you the City stuff. What's the point in beating Watford by putting 7 past Watford? Yeah. If you're then going to go too far the other way, Liverpool are at least, and I think it's a dangerous game we're playing. I think we are, you know, I've said this before, I think we're in the red line, you know, as far as like you revving your engine. I think we're close to that point where you can burn out a bit too short. But if you're much like Chelsea did it, you know, if you're able to, and Mourinho's Chelsea did this a few times, if you can go flat out for ages and get yourself a buffer. If you have to limp over the line, you'd have to limp over the line. There's a lot of football to be played before we have to talk about
also,
that.
Also, I think we trust our defence more than anyone else trust their defences.
Which is mad because we're not getting clean sheets.
No, we're not, but it's hard to beat Liverpool.
Yeah.
It's hard to score two against us.
Yeah, hard to be.
It's hard to score two in the league. Against, how many teams score two against us in the league? Very few. And when they have, we've went and scored three. Or something. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's the difference, is that other teams aren't trusting what they've got at the back. Everyone from City downwards are looking at their defence going, it's probably only Leicester actually who are quite happy with what they're doing.
Yeah.
I suppose that helps you get away with it, is yeah. that I don't think we are, we're not pairing, you know, we're not like, we're not on all cylinders just yet.
That's why I think the first 40 minutes of Salzburg stood out.
Yeah.
Because that we were so good.
That was like
so good.
That was like a FIFA game, wasn't it? The fluidity was
beautiful.
But that
was perfection. That was what we're meant to look like. That's how we're meant to play.
Exactly. The way we can look like.
yeah, absolutely. There's a couple of moments from the game I want to talk about. And you know, it's another week and another sliding doors reference. big Gwyneth Paltrow fan, all I'll say.
Who isn't?
Oh, no, I know, absolutely. Probably the fella from Coldplay.
Yeah, he is.
it's funny, isn't it, Ben? Because you look at the substitutions. Milner starts for Henderson, effectively. Yeah. You could quite easily flip that there. Yeah. You know, you could leave Genie on the pitch, you could bring Hendo on there, and you've not got that. You could bring Mane off instead of bringing Firmino off. As it turns out, Milner stays on the pitch to take the penalty, Mane stays on to win the penalty. And you know, we talk about these things do go for you when they go.
I think we discussed, I think, in the week that we were surprised that Genie hadn't been rotated against Salzburg, and again he started the weekend. Yeah. Am I making that up? Yeah, he did start the weekend. So to bring him off, I think, was probably the decision that, yeah, of course, that was the point I was going to make. Yeah. to bring him off, I think, was probably a fair decision, given that Milner hadn't played.
He was my shout to not start this because he'd just played the back-to-back games, but he went
the
other way.
He's one of the fittest players, isn't he?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. It is a sliding doors moment, you know. But by the same token, you can say, well, you know, Henderson comes off, Genie comes on, and he wins the penalty. So any of those.
I think that those two players, though, Ben, I think we're our best two players on the pitch, Milner.
Milner was excellent. Milner was really, really good. He doesn't have to do much, but he does everything he does. He does really well. Like, you know, he just works hard. He slots 95th minute penalties.
He's
like, it's no problem
as well. He is a gnarly player. He gets in people's faces. Yeah. He does little horrible little kicks.
Little Rottweiler.
I think it might be their right back. He basically just chucks him on. He shoulder bars him onto the floor in the corner for no reason. He's lost out on the ball and he puts him on the deck and gets away with it. And he's just those leaving marks on opposition players to make them know that, you know, we're not messing about here.
Yeah, we've talked about him so much over the last couple of seasons. You can't really speak highly enough of him, and you can't really speak highly enough of what influence he's having in the dressing room with, you know, the amount of experience he's got. He's doing this, you know, this season now. He's done this so many times, this league title. He's lost out on league titles, unfortunately, with us, but he's gone and won league titles as well. He's seen both sides of it. You know, he probably is the most experienced player in our squad. He's won everything there is to win. And I think that shows itself on the pitch for every single situation that develops on the pitch, whether you concede as equaliser with 10 minutes to go, or you've blown a 3-0 lead at home, you know, in a European game. He's got something to reference, and he can adapt his game for any situation.
I think Klopp's like go to in any situation. You win 3-0 and now it's 3-3 and everyone's panicking. Break glass, throw Milner on.
Yeah.
No, you know what I mean? You're playing the kids. Your kids are all playing in Milton Keynes, and you need someone to lead them. Sam Milner, left back, captain. Go and box them off. He was brilliant.
Yeah.
I thought he actually struggled early against Leicester. I was a bit annoyed at him. I'm not one who moans at players, but under my breath, I could feel myself going, "Fuck sake, man!" I must admit.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he gets one pass and the ball to Mane is like, if Kevin De Bruyne plays that, people are pulling their knobs off. You know what I mean? It's unreal how good. It's such a good ball. It's inch perfect. Mane doesn't have to break stride. Yeah. And then I think he just doesn't get flustered.
Yeah.
Even and again, we panic a lot, and we've all seen players panic, and we've talked about Liverpool panicking in the past. He's the one guy who is just, again, it's quite cliche. He's the most boring fella. And to call him cool is a different type of cool.
Yeah.
He's not, you know, he's not like, he's not cool as
the
in
anti-hero, isn't he?
He's like, not cool as in the, like, the kids are. He's nice. Nice. He's just calm. Yeah, he's nice.
I just want to say welcome to everyone watching that social clip on Twitter, because the pull your knob offline is absolutely is a 10 out of 10.
Told me off for swearing too much the other day. Can we bleep knob? Tom, get rid of Tom. My mum told me off for swearing on the last one.
No, he's brilliant. The man is just made of ice, isn't he? He's just absolutely incredible. And I love the fact that he's just, you get this with footballers, well, humans in general, the older you get, the more mature you get, and you just become less arsed by all the bits and pieces around the fact that he's basically doing like the Mbappe celebration and all this kind of stuff. He's a man who, like, I think he loves life the same way as much as Jurgen Klopp loves life. He's not as effusive with it, but I get the impression that Milner's just buzzing off life. You know, things happen. Yeah. He's quietly having a little laugh.
Milner reminds me of a bottle of wine. He just gets better with age, doesn't he? Just ages better.
Not the wine I buy,
isn't he? Bottle of wine. Milner wine.
5 for 10. It's
75% sure.
You know what's interesting about him is that this is the season when he shouldn't be playing.
Yeah.
This was the season where Milner was going to get bombed out.
We said that 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. And I tell you what, now to ask Jurgen Klopp who he wants to start at Old Trafford, and he's got a choice in Naby Keita and James Milner, and he will pick James Milner right now. Mm. Maybe some of this is injury related, and our two lads who should be in the team aren't. But he's not, we mentioned before about Dejan Lovren not giving a shit. So Milner's going, I don't care if there's £80 million worth of midfielders behind me.
£80-90 million worth of talent there.
This is my shirt.
And you're dead right. And I think Genie's doing this. Has been doing a similar thing. Jordan Henderson's done a similar thing. You know, for as much as you people criticise that the creativity of those midfielders, yada 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 yada. That's not on Jordan Henderson, James Milner and Genie Wijnaldum. Mm. That's on Oxley Chamberlain and Naby Keita to be better.
Definitely be
100% that. Couldn't have put it any better. I absolutely agree. You've got to match them. You've got to match their levels. You've got to match their game intelligence. You've got to match their tactical understanding and all the endeavour that they throw in first and foremost. And if you can't get to that level, then Klopp's not going to put you in the team.
Can I ask you something before? You mentioned Milner being a little bit gnarly and stuff. Were you surprised? I was surprised how gnarly Leicester were, and maybe that's a reason for him staying on the pitch. Is that it was getting feisty, and I think we could all feel it. And maybe I wonder if that's the reason why Klopp goes, you know what? I'd rather keep him on. Him and Henderson seems like a better midfield for a gnarly game.
You know what was evident? What the biggest evidence of that was the fight at full time.
Yeah.
I've watched that video back about 50 times. I love it. Yeah. I absolutely love it.
I love it.
There's so much stuff going on. But I always think, Steve, remember Old Trafford when Mascherano gets sent off and Gerrard is nowhere? Like, and it was always that was my only ever issue I had with Steven Gerrard, is I don't think he was a very good...
Should have been in there.
I don't think he was a good day in. The finer points of being a captain, I don't think he had in him.
Stick on for your mates.
Exactly. That thing of you should be in someone's grid. And we had Virgil van Dijk right
went
at the front
of it.
Went
straight
over to Milner. Milner, Henderson. All tackling different aspects of it and not losing their heads and throwing fists either. Like Virgil van Dijk just stands like a wall in front of people. Adam Lallana's grabbing shirts and Milner's grabbing shirts and being like, go on, do it. Go on, you be the one who throws the punch. Let's see what happens when you do it. Henderson's pulling people away and all that kind of stuff. Like, and it showed this teams can come and be gnarly all they want, but we've got these lads in this team who... You know, you're going into you always do it, and you've got your gang of mates.
Yeah.
And you get into something kicks off in town, and you turn around to your mate, and there's those lads who, if something kicks off, you step towards immediately. Mm. And we've got so many of them.
Even
on
the goalie, mate, Vardy does this little. Vardy loves that, leaving his foot in, blocking the ball. He does it every time.
Yeah.
And some goalies roll around on the floor, but our goalie has someone tells him to fuck off. No, he does. He did. I agree with you. You need that. And like you say, it was good that. You know, Adam Lallana, for all, you know, again, he gets stick and stuff, but he's almost an afterthought, to be honest. He is, at the minute.
People still think, because people look at him and they see the turns and the creeps and all that, and everyone forgets. It's how
good he was.
Oh, my God, it's like having, like, a 10-second memory or whatever. It's like we have to keep constantly... You see him again, you go... oh, he loves getting stuck in, doesn't he? Shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because he's, look, he's, like, to be honest, he's a little bit lightweight, he's a bit small. I have Yossi Benayoun in my head, and I always slip back into thinking he's that. But he's very...
He picks the ball up at the end, doesn't he, for the pen goes in. And then, actually, I think the best bit about that whole fight is after Lara turns away, and he just goes, fuck it, I'm just going to cheer in front of the cop. Yeah. We've won the game!
And that's what I was going to say, is that it's a lad who's been on the pitch for 2 minutes. Yeah, he doesn't get a sniff in the game. He could be feeling down about himself. But he sees his mate getting a bit of stick, and he's the first one in there.
Yeah, yeah.
He's having a go, and like I say, he's the one who turns around to us, and the cop starts giving it the absolute beans. I was like, yeah, that what you said is that the group as a collective, that's something that's been fostered over a while. Yeah. Klopp and his team. Klopp and his team deserve credit for that, because if anyone should be pissed off, it should be Admiral Lallana, because he never plays.
Yeah.
When he does play, everyone's on his back. Yeah. And yet he was first into his mate. Listen, I've seen the video of what kicks off. Robertson kind of nudges the lad, and Robertson's gnarly as well. He loves it. You know, ask Leo Messi.
Slap Messi.
Yeah, if anyone who can slap Leo Messi.
That was probably Lallana saying to the crowd and saying to Klopp and everybody else, "I'm here. I'm still here, lads. Look, don't forget about me. I'm still here."
I like that we just didn't. We were uncompromising. There was a temptation for them to bully us, because that's what they were kind of trying to do a little bit all over the pitch. Vardy leaving his foot in, the lad throwing Salah on the floor a couple of times, and Liverpool were more than willing to say, you know what, we might be top of the league. And we might be a team of playing, you know, good football with lads from foreign countries. Maybe you might not expect this from, but listen, we're not going to take that shit. Yeah. You're not coming to our ground and having some lads have a go at one of our lads. And I loved it. He was all in. It's great to see.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it was everyone getting in without it boiling over. Because there's a fine line, because we've had these before. We've had lads who come in. And again, actually, Gerrard's an example of that. You know, one way or the other.
Yeah.
And look at the Man United game in Anfield.
A few years ago.
Well, look at the United, he comes on the pitch and he's off the pitch 2 minutes later, isn't he?
Yeah,
stamping on
his
Herrera or whatever. You know, those lads, they don't back down, but they're not stupid. They're not hotheads. It's not
Keep
Wayne Rooney.
Head, yeah.
It's not like
Keep
when you see Ross Barkley to do this
throw
for Everton.
And,
you know,
and stuff.
Exactly. I absolutely love it. Just rewind slightly, because we kind of glossed over the pen a little bit. I don't want people to think that there's double standards being set here. I gave Harry Kane absolute pelters a few weeks ago for his decision to go down under contact. It should be known, by the way, that I am a massive hypocrite, because I'm a Liverpool fan and I'm not asked when Liverpool players do this. Sadio Mane, my take on this, Ben, Sadio Mane is a victim of his own honesty. And this is mad, because people go, what are you talking about? He's dead. His first instinct actually isn't to dive. His first instinct is to carry on.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh no,
I should go down here.
I'm meant to go down in this situation. And I think he goes down. And Mane is one of the worst divers. I don't mean he's bad for diving. I mean he's terrible at diving. Yeah. Harry Kane is brilliant at diving, because he goes into that situation and he knows there's going to be contact. So his first instinct is to get himself ready for the contact to go down. It's tactical. It's all part of his play. Didier Drogba was amazing at this as well.
Mane's a gold medalist, isn't he, Harry Kane?
Mane's not like that. Mane's natural thing is to he wants to get the ball, because he wants to be on the ball, because he wants to influence it. I don't think, and I think he's being trained or being told, you could probably go down a bit more, mate. And it's more than enough to win the pen, but it's the fact that he takes half a step before realising that he goes down. I think if he goes down on the initial contact, that's a pen. It's a nailed on penalty.
Yeah,
but the fact that he tries to walk
it looks
it off
like
a bit,
it's contrived a little bit, doesn't it?
Exactly. My standpoint on it is very much, it's a foul. I think it's that simple. I don't think it's a stonewall penalty. I don't think it's an absolute nailed on, 100%. If the referee doesn't give it, then VAR will. I don't think it's one of them. But I think if they were the fouls that were being given all game.
If that's the middle of the park and you accelerate away from someone and they clip the back of your leg and it makes you stumble and you take a step
then go,
oh, come on, ref.
Yeah.
The referee brings it back. Virgil van Dijk had one. Yeah. Exactly that. Like, then again, when he got brought down, he just turned to look at the referee like, and what are you going to do about this? And the referee went, oh my God, yeah, you're right.
The fact it's so late on, and it's going to be probably the winner.
And it's going to be thought about.
You know what I mean?
The thing is, the referee, we've talked about the referee wasn't great, but if he's going to give soft fouls everywhere, and what you want is, you want him to be consistent in the sense of, well, that's a foul, so whether or not it's a penalty in the 95th minute, if it's a foul, it's a foul, so you've got to give it. So for me,
if you can tell me that Mane gets that without having to go to the floor, then yeah, I think I think it's fine. But go on, what's your take, Steve?
I think it's a foul and I think it's a dive, and I think we'd all agree on that. He didn't have to fall. He threw himself to the floor because he'd been touched. I suppose if refs start giving fouls for lads staying on the feet, then maybe he wouldn't have to do it. Naby Keita, in the exact same game last year against Leicester, doesn't go down. A shot goes wide because you're off balance and it's not a pen, and it should have been a pen. Yeah. So, listen, if that went against us, I would probably be saying, you know what, it's clumsy from the defender, that's the first thing, but the lad didn't need to jump himself on the floor. Uh-huh. The flip side is, in the ground where we were, again, I was up to the end of the pitch, hardly, it looked nailed on. It looked like, you know what it did? It looked like he'd been stood on and gone. It's only when you slow it down to the millionth degree is that you see the step.
So I'm obviously up at Kenny for that. So I'm closer than I would normally be in the car. And there's too many bodies for me to see it clearly. So I see it's a penalty. I see the reaction. Think, okay, well, you know. And then the fact that it gets checked by VAR.
You're worried?
Well, yeah. There's definitely that.
That takes it out.
And I thought it would have been amazing given how many penalties has not been given or not been seen as clear, obvious, or an obvious error by the referee, for us to have one overturned, I thought would have been just, you know, would have been quite typical with our luck with penalties at Anfield. But I saw the reaction to it afterwards, and I didn't actually sit down and watch Match of the Day until the Saturday Match of the Day until Sunday evening. So I'd not seen it back at all until then. And then I watched it, and I was expecting there to be no contact. And he volleys him in the back of the leg, and that was my way. It was like, having seen the reaction, I thought it was much more of a penalty than I probably would have done if I hadn't seen everyone kicking off about it.
I think it's because it's Liverpool as well. You're going to get that. You know what I mean?
It's the devil's club stuff.
I always say, but he's foreign. And I think that influences things.
Well, Paul Tompkins, I'll give another shout out to the wonderful Paul Tompkins of the Tompkins Times. Highly advise going over to his website and subscribing because he writes some incredible stuff. But he's been banging the penalty drum now for like a year. And Liverpool, and you've got fucking Peter Reid coming out and going, oh, I'm surprised it wasn't the cop end. It's not a thing. You know, is that our second penalty at Anfield in 2 years?
We just don't get them.
No, we just don't get them.
It's a conspiracy theory, isn't it?
It's a myth. So, like, this notion that Liverpool are being lucky, there's penalties being handed out to other teams, lots more penalties for equally soft or less. That's irrelevant. It's the point is that it's not like Liverpool getting penalties at Anfield is a giant conspiracy theory. So that can get a bit. It's almost, you can make a stronger case that it's the opposite because you're right. There's evidence there, and Paul's done this over. I think it's like 600 odd penalties analysed, that there is a bias in the data, and I can only refer to what's been read there. There's a bias towards British players in those situations.
And even in punditry, Harry Kane invites contact and goes down. Sadio Mane is a diver.
And the way Match of the Day covered it, I thought was a piss take.
They
claimed, not only are they going on about it being a diver, no, and they're coming to Shearer for his analysis, and he's shaking his head before he's even talking about it, because he's made his point. He knows what he's going to say, which is mental because of how vociferously he's defended Harry Kane, etc. Gary Lineker's done exactly the same sort of thing. I get it from Lineker, he's a Leicester fan, so he's going to have a little bit more, and I'm kind of fine with that to some extent. But like to then go, when Klopp's talking about the Chelsea challenge on Salah, they then say he's deflecting because of the penalty stuff.
It depends. I think I then got said to Shearer, I ain't moaning about pundits, but I'm going to do it for once. He says, there was contact, and then Shearer goes, yeah, but it's a contact sport, Gary. It is a contact sport. It's not a contact sport where you can kick someone in the legs and then stand on their feet. That is a foul. In the laws of football, it'll say foul. The difference is you don't get given stuff unless you fall on the floor. Mm. That's the be all and end all. Mm-hmm. Sadio Mane, if he stays on his feet and we don't score, I will be furious.
Yeah.
Go down. Keita should have went down. Yeah. Every time someone kicks you, just fall over in the box. If there's contact, because if the ref gives it, VAR won't overturn it. If there's any contact at all, if they don't overturn the Andy Robertson one in Napoli, they are not overturning anything.
Yeah.
So if there's a touch, and again, is it cheating? Maybe people might have a go at me for saying it, but you've got to go down. And Shearer will know this, Lineker will know this as strikers. Refs will not You get nothing for staying on your feet. You get the well done's of
yeah yeah.
You get the well done.
Well, fair play award. Yeah. You get the £50 to donate to a charity. Yeah, yeah.
You get the well done of Alan Shearer on match of the day. You don't get 3 points.
But you don't, because Alan Shearer then goes, well, striker centre forward, a real centre forward goes down in that situation because he's full of fucking shit.
The referee had no hesitation.
I just want to make this point actually, because it's something I've noticed about football punditry, and everyone's guilty of it to some extent. There's cliches and all this kind of stuff. I watch, because all the highlights are now on YouTube. So last weekend, I watched the Premier League's 3-minute highlights of every Premier League game, and it was astounding. Like the way the pundits talk about stuff in absolutes. Like, I'm telling you, an absolute rule of the game. And there was two back-to-back sets of highlights, and there was one where the guy, someone hits it, blazes it over the bar from dead close, and the guy goes, in that situation, you've got to make sure you hit the target. Hit it less hard, but hit the target. The next game, the very next game, different, but generic Scottish co-commentator, guy hits the target, weak shot. What does he say? Blimey. You've got to hit the ball hard in those situations. You've got to make sure you hit it as hard as you can in those situations.
They're like this, aren't they?
It's fucking horseshit. Yeah. It's pundits talking as though they're speaking the word of God. Yeah, like they're fucking reading from this fucking gospel of how football is. And Alan Shearer is a fucking joke. He gets a bit of credit. I think he's actually a better commentator than I think he is a pundit. But he... It's frightening, the lack of self-awareness from him.
It's bizarre.
Frightening. Let's talk about the rest of the weekend's games then, lads, because I actually almost wanted to do this more than talk about our game, because I love a bit of schadenfreude in me. The weekend just got better and better as it went on, really. Burnley beat the Ev. Ben, you know, Ben's going to be covering this on the Around the League podcast and show this week. So you go over to redmentv.com and watch the full show and listen to the full podcast of this. But we'll touch
it's
on
this. It's one of them where
briefly.
We do try and take our rose-tinted glasses off on that show, but it could be very, very difficult this week.
Oh, God,
why not? That.
What's the point? It all come up red.
Just have them on.
Yeah.
Everton, unashamedly.
We've been talking to the Toffee TV lads a lot recently about this, and I've overheard a lot of their shows, and they put a lot on this game, and I think probably a bit stupidly, to be honest, because there's a notion that Burnley, and I think it shows an elitism a little bit from there, that they think themselves so much better than Burnley. Burnley away was always going to be a very, very difficult game for them. And now they've put themselves in a situation where they've got, well, Silva needs this, he needs this win, where they've now got 2 weeks of hand-wringing where they need to decide whether to back the manager or get rid of him.
I was worried about Burnley away when we went the other week. It's notoriously one of the toughest away games of the Premier League. You can't just expect to rock up there and saunter to 3 points, much like we did in August. But, you know, that we're us.
We're good at footy.
That's the key difference.
We can play.
They are then obviously go a man down, which makes life more difficult for them. And to be honest, I've not seen the goal, so it's difficult for me to comment on that. But Everton, fucking in trouble.
Relegation zone. Yeah. The goal is
what happens when you look at an organ, and that's the key. Is that if you're the manager and you're wondering, you can get beat 1-0 at Burnley by a lucky whatever. The fact that it's a set piece and they. It's basically what happens.
It's a
corner, and they play the exact same one in the first half, and it goes back post to Hendricks, and he nearly scores, and he just misses, and yet they do the exact same corner. Tarkowski boxes the fella in, round the back post scores. That is incredible lack of awareness, went from the coaching staff or the players, and that's what will annoy fans. I think is that it's almost like you're getting beat by the same move twice.
Yeah.
You should know it's coming the second time. It's the exact same corner. And that's where it's either a lack of understanding, which is bad coaching, or the players switch off, which is always on the manager.
You look at those situations where the players aren't either well trained enough or aren't well
don't trust enough
to make the decisions on the pitch. Or you know, if your manager's trying to micromanage things because he's in a bit of trouble, it's easy to then blame the manager because you're waiting to be told what to do, aren't you? Spurs got battered 3-0 by Brighton. 10 goals conceded this week for Pochettino's side, which is mad. And that should really have been the big talking point of the weekend. Yeah. But no, because the weekend just kept getting better. Manchester City lost 2-0 to Wolves. I'd forgotten the foot. I didn't know what time their kickoff was, and I was at a christening on the Sunday morning. Got back into ours in the afternoon, and I didn't have my phone with me, so I checked it, and our WhatsApp group was all like Chris tweeting about not being able to breathe and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, it wasn't as like on the nose, like, oh my God, City are losing. So I had to go check it out, and I ran downstairs, got the telly on, and of course,
Chelsea was on the telly.
So then I had to sit there refreshing my phone and waiting for updates through the commentary or whatever to come through, and then they go 2-0.
I was relieved it wasn't on the telly, because I just can't put myself through watching City. I'd much rather wait. So I had my sofa saw notifications while I was in work for the first half, and then I got home in time to what would have been able to watch the second half. But I much prefer the whole keep checking my phone. They've not scored yet. We're getting to 20 minutes to go here, and it's still 0-0. I still have no notification. And then I get the goal notification the other way, and I go, at that point, I go, all right, I'll cave now, find a stream to watch the last 10 minutes. And I think we're going to discuss Spurs in depth, but to discuss this as well, I think this is a... I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself with the league at all, because we're in October, because obviously, yeah. But for me, especially with the injuries going on at the moment, this is certainly looking different than the last two seasons, because I think City will go and lose a game in the last couple of years, and you go, well, that's that, because they'll just go on this massive winning run now, and you know, the only way the gap between us and them is going to change is if when we start losing games and they close the gap and it gets smaller. I'm not convinced this is the last of City dropping silly points.
There's more teams in the league now than there ever has been that will have a go at you.
Yeah,
and we'll try to play a bit of footy against you. And that used to be like, it's funny how it goes a couple of ways. I think City are a side better set up against teams that go, City, oh no, and they sit back and they clam up. You know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they go, oh my God, just don't hit my face. Take anything you want.
I can't wait for them to play Leicester.
Yeah,
because Leicester will have a real go at them.
Yeah,
absolutely. And the other one, which just ends up being the icing on the cherry, for two reasons. First, obviously, Newcastle beating Man United is glorious. The fact that it's two ex-Man United players, the fact that Steve Bruce is quite clearly a better manager than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer when you really think about it. The fact that it is, in the words of Mark Goldbridge, the B-Tech of the Longstaffs, not even the one that they want to buy. Oh my God!
Young lad,
and the win for Newcastle puts Everton in the relegation zone.
To me, you had, as I said earlier, it was like a Carlsberg weekend. If they make weekends, this is it. Mm. Not only was it the perfect results wise, but we have a 10 day break now as well.
Yeah,
and we
yeah.
come back. Obviously, United yeah. is the one.
You can all like fest on it for 2 weeks. You can all fest.
That's
on it. If you're Tottenham now, you can't just go again. Because there's a break. And
yeah.
that's what's so good. And even, I agree with what you said, go back to City quickly, is that even when they've won, they haven't been as convincing as they were. And again, maybe they probably need a break, because they could do one or two players back. I don't know what the injuries are. But for United, for Tottenham, for Everton especially, you've got a fester on there. You've got a fester on how crap you've been. You're going to be miserable for 2 weeks, and then you come back. And then all of a sudden there's massive pressure on a game that is just it's your ninth league game of the season, and already there's massive pressure for all three of those teams now. It's big pressure, yeah. And that's what I'm saying about us, is that arguably, again, we haven't been at our best, and we could have easily dropped points to Sheffield, we could have dropped points at the weekend, and you're looking at things a bit differently. But when you find ways to win, and you don't shoot yourself in the foot, which is what a few of these teams have done, like Hugo Lloris shoots himself in the foot and then his arm.
Bad injury.
That doesn't mean mocking the injury. What happens is he injures himself by being crap.
Oh, right,
the reason he got in, I'm not mocking the injury, it's a horrible injury, but the reason he's injured is because he falls over, because he was crap. Because his weight's all wrong. It's literally adding injury to
him. As a man who knows about weight being up.
as a man who knows what weight balances. that's the thing, is that again, I'm going to use the term break, but they're the breaks you get when things aren't going your... I don't mean that nastily, but that's what goes against you when they haven't got the rubber of the green.
No, absolutely.
You pick up the odd little injury, or... Again, that's a bad one. It's a shocker. It's sickening when you watch it. Or you lose Kevin De Bruyne to a little niggle here and there. when things aren't quite going your way, you feel like the world's against you.
Yeah.
And then you've got 10 days of the world being against you before you can put it right.
No, absolutely, because you do. Because
it's 2 weeks, isn't it?
You fail on something, you just want to go, pick yourself up, dust yourself down, and just have another go, have another spin, just so you don't have to sit in it. Yeah. It's like falling. It's like if you ever fall over and it's been raining, you don't sit there and go. You don't want to sit there and go. Yeah. Oh, I fell over. You jump up before your ass gets too wet, don't you? You know what I mean? Effectively, that's what you do.
When I was playing five times, that fella broke my leg. The first thing I did was try and get up. Because you don't want to be on the floor thinking, "Oh, I'm injured. I'm going to get up," and then you fall over again. That's kind of what they haven't even got the chance. They've got to sit there now 2 weeks and just
And on the flip of this thing, that's the beauty of it right now. I'm just putting this out there. Maybe there are some Liverpool fans who are desperate to get carried away. And fair play to them. Enjoy it in whatever way you can and you want to. No one thinks it's done. No one thinks it's done and dusted in any way, shape, or form. No. But what I would say is, 8 games gone, 100% record, and all those things, like, you know, we're 8 points clear at the top of the league. We've got Manchester United 2 points ahead of the relegation zone. We've got Everton in the relegation zone.
Enjoy this bit while you can.
Exactly. We've got 2 weeks to sit back, feet up, heads behind the head, get yourself some grapes and a hot chocolate and light the fire and all that kind of stuff, and just look and marvel at the league table, because it's probably never going to be quite this good again. It might well be, and these are the very positive signs for it to be that way, but that's the beauty of football. You don't get chance in football to really soak in it. Because there's another game, there's always something happening. Mm. Nah, there's 2 weeks now.
That's why it was the perfect weekend, wasn't it? Yeah, not only the break, absolutely everything is just perfect at the moment. Be happy where we are. Be confident, obviously, and we're still in second gear.
One of our best players is injured, and hopefully it's not serious, and he gets 2 weeks off to get better. Yeah. Those are the little things that you need to go your way.
Yeah.
The flip side, I agree with what you said, it's not done. But flip it over, I tell you now.
If
there was an 8-point lead now, I think we'd all be sitting there going, you know what? We'd all be trying to kid ourselves.
Yeah.
If we beat them twice,
It's been too long without a league title for us to allow ourselves to think that way. And that's it. If we'd won last season or in 13-14, you know, even bloody 08-09, we'd probably be like, no, okay, that's good enough for us, but we can't. None of us can even afford to allow ourselves to think it.
No.
You know, you're crossing fingers, toes, mental things, everything you can get crossed, every bit of wood that can be touched, all that kind of stuff, like, because you're right, we've all got to take a big deep breath. But I would say, like I say, don't not enjoy it.
Mm.
You've got to enjoy this. If you can't be happy over this next 2 weeks, then
footy's not for you.
Well, no, it's not even about footy not being for you. Seek medical attention and help, because there's something else wrong in your life. It's not the football.
But there is a pressure as well, because we haven't won it in so long. Like, you know, there is, and you're 8 points clear. You're going to get huge pressure from the media.
Wipe our feet to the door. Pick that pressure up in 2 weeks' time. Is what
pressure's
I'm saying.
Pressure's for tourists.
Pressure, we can pick that up. Yeah. Pick that up in 2 weeks when we're getting ready for the Man United game. And we will, because Man United, Old Trafford, there's loads of reasons to be stressed about that game, and they'll be gagging for it and all that kind of stuff. They might have a new manager by that point. who knows?
I hope not. Keep him in. Managers deserve time, and Ollie deserves time.
I agree. Took, how long did it take Alex Ferguson to win his first silverware at Man United?
You sacked Moyes too early, and then look what happened.
No, exactly. it's a self-fulfilling prophecy of failure. Keep the faith, Manchester United. Keep the faith in Ole. He's at the wheel. That's apparently a good thing. Thank you very much, gents. Thank you very much to The Athletic as well for sponsoring this week's show and podcast. Yes, you can go to theathletic.co.uk/theredmentv for that 50% discount off your yearly subscription rate. There'll be some great stuff there coming out this week, of course. But I'd say from last week, you got a brilliant piece on Brendan Rodgers, which is even nicer reading now on the 4th anniversary of him obviously leaving the football club. So go and watch that. Gentlemen, that's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for watching, like, and subscribing. Do check out the Around the League podcast on theredmentv.com as well, and we shall see you there. Ta-da.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.